I think we're just getting started.
What is going on, and welcome back to another episode of 117 Gaming Squadron. I am your host, Phil, and welcome to episode 2, in which we will talk about Altered Beast for the Sega Genesis. You know, I realized that the first episode, I don't think I gave my name away, so you're probably wondering who you're listening to at the time. So, I'm your host, Phil. Hopefully that makes up for the first episode, but yeah, here we are, episode 2. And the beer I will be drinking tonight is Leinenkugel's Juicy Peach from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And I didn't realize that, well, it's been a while since I drank Leinenkugel's, but their bottles are actually twist cap. So I thought they were pop cap. So I just popped the thing off, realizing, oh, it's a twist cap, which should have made sense because now I remember. But just opening the bottle and taking a good smell, you can definitely smells like an ale. There's really no, I mean, there's a little bit of peachiness to it, but I mean, the malt does kind of come out a little bit, and then the smell of the ale yeast, but yeah, the peach is there. It is definitely a very, very light color, kind of like, you know, light peach color and everything. So let's go ahead and see what it tastes like. Oh, that's good. This is definitely a summer beer. I mean, wow. It's, I'm trying to think, like, what kind of, well, of course it's peachy, but yeah, no, it's actually good. Like, the flavor's not too empowering of the peach. It's just about right. You can't really taste any of the malts. You kind of get a little bit of the ale yeast flavor, but for the most part, the peach kind of helped dominate, but it's not too super strong. It's actually very smooth. Yeah, that's good. It's a good summer beer. It's a good lawnmower beer. Yeah, no, I'm glad that I was able to try it. This was actually a gift given to me by my father-in-law. Since he knows I love beer, he thought he'd surprise me with a beer that I haven't tried, and I'm glad he did. I'd probably buy it again next summer if it's around. So today, I am going to talk about the Sega Genesis game Altered Beast, which came out in 1988. And the reason why I chose this game is, well, I think most of the games we'll be talking about probably has the nostalgia factor to it, but this game was actually the first Genesis game I ever played. And by that, my cousins actually got a Genesis for Christmas. Was it 88, 89? I don't remember. But anyway, so growing up, we would spend Christmas at a grandparents' house. And usually, certain holidays, I would actually go home with my cousins and spend the weekend with them. Well, I did this weekend. That Christmas weekend, I got to go home with them and hang out for them the weekend. And one of the gifts they got was the Sega Genesis. So we got home and they're all excited to show me that they got the Genesis. We turned it on and, oh my God, we're playing Altered Beast. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever because at the time, I think I just had a Nintendo. And then here my cousins had this new 16-bit system. And I was like, oh my God, the graphics are so much better. The sound, the gameplay, look what you can do. I was just blown away. And as the years gone on, I mean, that game kind of just stuck out as a inside joke to my cousins and I, because we played it quite a lot growing up until I think we outgrew it. But this game, like I said, it's came out in 88. It is actually ported from an arcade. So Sega came out with an arcade version of Altered Beast, and they ported it to the Genesis to kind of show, you know, the power of the Genesis that can, you know, play arcade quality games. So, but it was a decent port, but we'll get into that here in a little bit. So this game is actually, I would say it's a short game. There's only 5 levels. And the premise of the game is you have the ability to turn into different animals, more like were-animals. So Zeus's daughter was kidnapped, and he raises you from the grave because you're dead. And he says, save my daughter. So you have to go through each round or level to save her. And so you start out, you are a very like skinny man who's got like a, I don't know, what looks like a leotard or typical Greek clothing at the time. And you're making your way through the level. And it's a side scrolling left to right, and the screen is moving slowly, and your character moves to the right as well. Well, along the way, you have to fight, of course, enemies. And to get the power orbs to power up, you actually have to hit or kill a two-headed blue wolf. And usually to get that sign is that you'll get a brown wolf that will pop out, and then usually a second brown wolf pops out at the same time as the blue one. So you got to be prepared and everything. And usually when they do throw out the blue wolf with everything, they tend to throw another villain or two to kind of throw you off. So, but once you're able to hit that blue wolf, he will drop an orb that will start floating up in the air, and it kind of just randomly goes left to right, floats up. Well, you have to quickly get it, because if you miss it, then you have to wait till the next blue wolf that comes along. And well, here's where it gets kind of funny. So when you get the blue orb, you guys suddenly turn to the screen, looks at you, and it goes power up, and his shirt rips off. So suddenly now he's a little bit more buffer. Like, all right, this man's in shape. So now your punches and kicks and everything now have a little bit more oomph behind it and everything. They kind of have this little effect of like air breaking and everything. Kind of like, oh, look at that, he's got more power. And then you continue on, making your way through the level. Just make sure you don't get whacked, because that's usually what happens with it being an arcade game. So you come across the blue wolves, you get the second power up. Now you power up again. This time you turn into some big muscle guy, like literally like Arnold Schwarzenegger size, just huge muscles. And yet the funny thing is like his head stayed the same. So you got this body that's so big for his head. And you know, you run around just like basically in a Speedo, just power punching, kicking all these enemies and creatures and stuff. So now when you finally get to your third wolf that comes across and you get that third orb, that's when the real fun happens, because then it changes to this animation screen where it shows you guys transforming into your were-animal. And so the first level, you turn into a werewolf. And this one is pretty, I enjoy it. It's, the werewolf is pretty cool. He's brown, of course, about stands tall. And he has two abilities. He can shoot fireballs from his wrists, or he can do this speed attack, which allows him to shoot across the screen, make this like lightning arrow or something, or a blade arrow to cut through the enemies on the level and everything. So when you have two players, that's actually pretty cool, because you could both just be just button mashing across the screen, just going left and right, and just taking everybody out. Then, of course, when you get all three orbs and you're in beast form, you come up to this like Uncle Fester looking dude who basically is like standing there, shoots some lightning from his robe, and basically says, "Welcome to your doom." And then he transforms into some sort of monster. Well, each level you have your monster fight. So then as your beast, you basically have to take him out. And so first level, best strategy is basically using your lightning. So you just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and just dodge his head. So he's actually just throwing, like almost like he's ripping his face off and then throwing it in the air and it drops down. Well, you just got to watch out for that. And it's a pretty easy fight. And then once you beat him, he turns into a floating head, laughs at you, and sucks the power out of you. And then you move on to, he keeps like this portal open, you jump into the portal, and then you move on to the next round. So the first one, you're in a graveyard, and then you go underground. And this one, okay, so some of the enemies in this game like are cheap as hell. So like the first one, yeah, you got zombies, you got these flying gargoyles that take you out, but then you have these dudes, they're wearing like, looks like a poncho, but they're dead. And their arm reach is literally ridiculous. They literally just stand there and just punch you from left to right, and you literally just get knocked to the floor. And what sucks is the fact that when you get hit and get knocked to the floor, if other enemies around you, you try to get up, you get hit some more, you just keep getting knocked down. So there are times where I've been surrounded by enemies, and there goes all my life, because I can't get up, I can't get out of there, and I just die, and I'm just like, God damn it. So then what do I have to do? You waste a life and try to get the hell out of there. And, I mean, the hits, you get three, you got three boxes, and you can take two hits for each box. So you get about six hits total before you die. The only, what sucks is the fact that every hit takes, like, there's no blocking. There's barely, trying to dodge it is very difficult because your character moves so slow and everything. But you can't heal, which sucks because I would argue that if you're getting beat up in human form, but then you turn to beast form, you should have full health transforming to beast form, but you're not. You basically, if you turn to beast form when you're down to your last hit, well then one hit, boom, you're dead. And that's it. I mean, that's kind of basically what an arcade game is. They want to make it difficult for you, so you keep dumping quarters into it. But once you get to the second level of the underground, you come across this, like, what looks like Grimace's ball sack hopping around on the floor. He's literally this blue love sack with eyes and mouth, and he's just kind of jumping along, just blip, blip, blip. Well, you got to avoid him, because if you don't, he will leap up in the air and drop on your head, and trying to get that mofo off you is difficult. He will just, and you just see your life bar just go boom, 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 and then you're dead. And so it's almost like one of those things where you literally have to walk up to that, kick him in the face, and then walk back, because then he's going to jump up in the air. When he lands again, then run up again, just kick him again, and then he's down. As like, as one of those cheap shot guys that always annoy me, because they've always gotten me a few times where I die. And then in this level, in the underground, you actually turn into a were-dragon, which, I mean, it's all right. Your powers are you shoot lightning from your mouth, and then you create this like electric shock shield that comes out around you, so anybody comes near you just shock everybody. And so when it comes to the boss fight, when you have to fight Uncle Fester again, he turns into this giant like alien eye with multiple eyeballs, and all you have to do is just stand in front of him and just button mash B, and then you turn into the eye, and after about like 5-10 seconds maybe, depending on if you're one player or two, he's done. He's probably the easiest boss fight in the whole game. But yeah, I don't know. Fucking Uncle Fester. Okay, now this level. This is where, well, I don't know what Sega was thinking, but you're now in like a cavern. Rock cavern. And the enemies of this are giant ants. And they're literally running on two legs, coming after you. And they have their back and their big sack, you know, on their butts. But this time it's actually bent towards between their legs, and they have a huge stinger sticking up front. So it looks like they're running around with a raging boner. And here they are just coming at you with the raging boner. You're just kind of like, oh, fuck this. So you start just punching and kicking them as much as you can. Well, once you get through the area and get your three orbs, then you turn into a werebear, which he's okay. He has two moves, which one of them is, he can turn him into stone with his breath, and then you just hit him with your jump attack, which is actually you turn into like a ball, which looks like a what the hell is it? Why am I blanking right now? A saw, like a saw blade. So when he turns up in the air, looks like he's turned into a saw blade as he rolls up into a ball and rolls around. Well, you make your way through the level, you get to the boss. He turns into some like dragon with a shell on it, and to basically defeat him, you have to just jump up in his shell and circle back around. So it's like a loop-de-loop. So you go, you're making circles, and you do that a couple times, and he's done. I mean, he's not too bad. The only downside is after you do the attack, he kind of like hits you, so your guy's kind of like doing this like odd like dance out, and then you have to do it again, but make sure you don't get hit or something, because then it loses your mojo, you lose your rhythm. But once you get that done, he's not so bad either. So now you're on to the fourth round, which you're in the Nether Realms. And this is where it actually gets difficult, because usually I can make it this far on a single playthrough before I die. And to tell you the truth, I have never actually beaten this game straight through. Like I said, it's difficult in terms of like the arcade style it is. But this level, you they kind of repeat some of the enemies from the previous levels and throw them back in this one. So it's nothing really new, just kind of changing up the color schemes and everything, maybe switching out a few sprites, animations, but on that, it's most of the same stuff. And this beast you turn into is the Were-Tiger, which, I mean, you're a tiger, and his abilities are similar to the werewolf, where he shoots a fireball from his arm, but this time, instead of doing straight, it kind of, like, lobs up and down, like, ooh, up and down, like a roller coaster effect, and it goes in slow, not fast like the werewolf, and he also has, like, a shock move, but instead of going left to right, he goes up and down. So, as the tiger, you're now going bottom to top screen and everything, which is, I mean, it's a good move. You just keep bashing that and you're going to take everybody out. So, and then when you get to the boss, just same thing, just bat up and down, bash him to finally when he's done, which then brings us to the fifth round, which is, it's not the Nether Realms. Is it Underworld? I think it's Underworld. But again, they reuse a lot of their characters from other levels, so you have to fight your way through. Fucking Raging Boner ants are coming back, and then I think you have the Grimace Ballsack coming after you too. So you got these two sexually charged enemies. One wants to jump in your head, one wants to stick it up your butt, so you got to be careful. But this beast, in this level, you turn into a gold werewolf, which is the same werewolf from round one, just gold color, and his abilities are the same. He shoots fire and has the left and right streak to take everybody out. So it's kind of just a rehash of the first werewolf, but gold color and everything. And then once you fight the final boss, which is like this rhino-looking dude, you save Zeus's daughter, and it's game over. So, yeah, like I said, it's a short game. One thing that I did not like about the game was the fact that you cannot heal. So there's no way to heal yourself. There's no way to earn extra lives or anything. You do get points throughout the levels, but it doesn't reward you in terms of like, hey, here's an extra life. Here's full health. You do get full health each start of new round or level, but that's it. So if you lose your health, you die. You lose your health, you die. You get 3 deaths, then it's game over. Well, that kind of sounds frustrating because, oh, you know, I just got my ass kicked in this level. Well, the Genesis version, they did put in a few cheat codes. Well, one of them is the fact that you can actually start back at the level where you died at. So when you're at the, when the screen says, you know, game over, you hold A and start bash and start. Eventually, it'll show the screen again saying Ultra Beast, press start. And when you do, it'll start you back at the level you died at with your full lives and everything. So you can kind of start fresh from there and hopefully make your way through it. There's another cheat where you can actually change the beasts you turn into each level. So instead of going through the order of like werewolf, were-dragon, were-bear, were-tiger, gold werewolf, you would rather say, okay, I want to be round one tiger, round two, you can draw the bear. I mean, you could switch around, or you can just say keep the same animal through each level and just do that. Which I guess, you know, kind of switches things up, because you can always put a challenge in yourself saying, okay, I'm going to beat the game just playing as the were-dragon or only the were-bear or something like that. So if you're one of those people that wants to challenge yourself and kind of switch it up, there's one way to do it. So when you play as two-player, I mean, it is fun as a two-player. The enemies are about the same. There's no added more when you play two-player. But the only difference is really that when you get the blue ox, instead of dropping one orb, he drops two. And I can remember a few times when I was playing with my cousin that, you know, you get one, I get one. Well, sometimes you get one and then suddenly you get bumped into it again. Or they come out of the wolf and suddenly you're right there and they both go right into you. And so suddenly you go from skinny man to really buff man, or from rip man to your bear or your wear form. And I can remember a few times where he take it from me or I take it from him by accident or purposely, who knows how we felt. And we're like, come on, man, like, what am I supposed to do? So you're all ripped or in wear for him, and he's just sitting there as a skinny man just getting his ass kicked, and you're just like, just protect me until I can get my other orbs. That's actually good beer. All right, where are we at? Where are we at? Where are we at? Also, like I mentioned earlier, how the character moves slowly. That's one of the downsides to this game, is the fact that you can't maneuver very quickly, go left and right. You can jump, but you can't jump very far. It's like you jump up slightly to the right. So you're not like Mario, you can just leap forward. You're kind of up and then instantly back down, like maybe a foot ahead. So trying to dodge enemy attacks is very difficult. So you have to be ready to either punch, kick, or you can do this laying down on your side and like kicking straight up in the air. And that's how you take out these flying creatures or these other creatures that are jumping down from atop and everything. And I mean, you'll figure it out, because all the enemies are scripted, so you can kind of know who's coming when, who's what's going on. So you can always prepare yourself, if you repeatedly play the game, to know who's coming what and what to do, which is probably what these speedrunners do and how they're beating this game in like 5 minutes, just barreling through it. The sound on this game, I mean, you can definitely tell it's a 16-bit sound. The one thing it feels like is the fact that the sound was, of course, downgraded from the arcade port. But it also feels like they took some sounds out, because there's actions or stuff you're doing that should have offered a sound, but it's not. So I don't know why Sega was unable to add it all. If it's maybe the limitations of the cartridge or the hardware at the time. But, of course, the arcade port is also going to be always the superior one, so... But, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, typical 16-bit sound. Nothing too fancy, nothing too, like, jam out to or anything like that. So, well, now we've come down to my final thoughts of the game. So, look, Ultra Beast isn't that amazing game to write home about. And, I mean, at the time it was fun, because the Sega Genesis had just come out back in 88, 89. And the Nintendo was the only other console out there. So, because the Super Nintendo didn't launch until, like, 91, 92. So Sega was already on the market with the 16-bit ahead of them. And so being able to play this new 16-bit console was like, you're the cool kid on the block. And then you have this game where you can turn into a beast. You're like, oh my God, because no game on Nintendo could do something like that or with that kind of animations and graphics. So you're like, dude, this is so awesome. And I mean, it's your typical arcade game too. It's just like what you would see back in the late 80s, early 90s, where it was just a side-scrolling, button-mashing beat-em-up where the difficulty is to make you die quickly, so you keep pumping quarters into the machine to basically beat it and everything. And it's one of those games where if you really want to see what Sega did in the Genesis and stuff like that, it's, I mean, you're not hurting yourself if you don't play it, but at the same time, if you're very curious about it, like, I just, it's worth kind of just a playthrough. And this game has been ported to, let's see, it was ported to, well, I know it was on PC, which is just garbage, but, okay, so it came out on the Genesis, not the Genesis, it came out on the Dreamcast in their Smash Pack Volume 1, and then I believe it came out on the Genesis hits for, like, the Xbox and PS3, Xbox 360 and the PS3, and I believe it was on the Wii Virtual Console, and... Now I know it is actually on the Sega Genesis Classic, the mini console that came out. They put it on there. So there's plenty of ways to get your hands on it. The one thing I don't understand with Sega is the fact that why do they keep porting or bringing out the Sega Genesis version? Why can't they take the arcade version and bring that out? I mean, clearly the hardware today can handle it. They should be able to offer both. Here's the Genesis version, and here's the actual arcade port of it. So then people can see the difference. In fact, the arcade port probably is a lot more fun to play than the Genesis one. So, I don't know. Maybe someday Sega release something. So, I mean, like I said, this game's not that amazing, but I think this IP has potential. They did come out with a sequel that was actually released in the PlayStation 2 that was only in Japan and Europe. It was supposed to come to America, but apparently the reviews and sales did not do so well that Sega decided not to release it in North America, which kind of sucks, because I would have liked to actually now pick up a copy and try it. So I've been looking online to see if I can find a European version, but no luck. I've been finding plenty of Japanese ones, but unfortunately I do not know Japanese, and I don't think there is a English version of it on the Japanese game. So I don't know, maybe patch one from down the road or something, but I hope Sega does revisit this IP. I think this IP has potential, especially with today's hardware. They can do some amazing stuff. They can make it like a horror game. They can make it just like a bloody mess. I mean, just think, like, you're like in a third person view behind you, just to beat them up, and suddenly you get all the orbs. You just turn to your were creature and all hell breaks loose. I think that would just be sweet if Sega would revisit this franchise and bring it back and everything. But time will tell. Hopefully Sega's listening and be like, yeah, let's do it. Let's bring back Ultra Beast with a modern twist to it on modern consoles and everything. Especially with the Unreal 5 engine. Man, that thing would look sweet. God, that thing would look awesome. Well, that's all I have to talk about tonight. Thank you all for listening to this episode of 117 Gaming Squadron. As always, please like, subscribe, follow, all that great stuff to help my podcast grow. If you ever feel like contacting me, you can always email me at 117gamingsquadron@gmail.com. I'm still debating if I should have a Facebook page or something. I mean, I know some people prefer to communicate that way. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out how best way for people to get hold of me. Right now, it's just email until I figure out a much easier, better approach for people to do that. So just keep your ears open and your eyes peeled, and eventually some other ones will come about. So, well, folks, until next time, take care, drink good beer, continue to play games. Cheers.